Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Bridges to Business Radio.
Hello, this is Anne Revelle Petcher, your host for Bridges to Business Radio. I'm here in the studio today on this amazingly beautiful sunny day, which we have to remind ourselves of because, I don't know, March Madness has gone a little mad, as it usually does, but it is so gorgeous out that I'm going to welcome two people. First, Alan Quigley with Lawson Gray, a Wilmington business broker, and the Dixie Grill. Welcome, Alan.
Thank you very much.
And we also have Chris George with PNC Bank. He's the Senior VP and Retail Region Manager. Hey, Chris.
How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for coming on. So I'm going to start here, Chris, with a few questions for you. Tell me a little bit about PNC, and then tell me what you do for them.
Okay. PNC Bank is a large regional bank throughout the east side of the United States. There's 2,700 offices across the footprint. And my role as a regional manager is I cover the coast of North Carolina, and I work with customers and the associates in delivering the best quality customer service we can provide to help them and to find, financial advice, provide mm-hmm. them to help them with their financial well-being.
And you have how many offices here in your region?
I cover about 17 offices at this point along the coast of North Carolina.
That's great, yeah. I think. Now, you've been PNC here in this region for how long?
PNC has been here for 2 years, predecessors throughout the ages. I've been with the company for 20 years in North Carolina, and I've been in Wilmington for over 10 years, right at 10 years now.
Great. Yeah. So you acquired RBC, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that how it worked?
PNC purchased the retail branches of the U.S. for RBC Bank. Prior to that, it was Centura Bank, and then going way, way, way back, 20 years, 30 years, People's Bank and Planters Bank out of Rocky Mount.
That's a really interesting story, yeah. the People's Bank and Planters Bank. That's quite interesting. So how are things going since you acquired them?
You know, I think it's been great. I've been through a lot of different changes over 27 years in banking. And, you know, the best things that I can say is we've really provided a lot more services and things that we can do now that we didn't do in the past. So we have more options, more things we can do with our customers, and we have more people. In fact, I will tell you along here, I've added about 15, 16, 17 new associates into our group, which has provided, you know, opportunities for our customers to have different product services throughout. So it's great to be able to grow. Yeah. It's great to be able to be involved in this wonderful community.
Which would mean your customer base is growing too, I would assume.
It is, absolutely. As you know, Wilmington is a beautiful place, and everybody wants to be along the coast. So it's a great place for us to grow, and we see nothing but positives going on.
What does it mean to be a retail banker?
Well, retail has changed over the years, and more recently is the impact that we've had with technology. Our customers are choosing how they do business a lot differently than they did in the past, traditional brick-and-mortar branches. So customers are using retail services through the internet, through ATMs, through mobile banking. They're connecting.
And by retail services, you mean traditional checking accounts, savings,
home equity loans, credit cards, mortgage loans.
So the things we would typically go into a bank branch to.
And additionally, the small business sector, that we deal a lot with that and work with a lot with our small business clients.
So that's considered mm-hmm. retail too.
Yeah. Yes, it is retail sided, but it is a function. Lots of the retail, small retail, is really driven by their personal business and personal mm-hmm. assets, personal deposit, personal loans that they have.
So tell me a little bit about, obviously I'm full disclosure, customer, PNC customer here, and proud of it. We actually, it was funny, my cute little story, we are PNC customers because when my son started college, mm-hmm. there was an RBC on his campus. And he said, Mom, RBC is Royal Bank of Canada, isn't it? And I said, it was when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And being Canadian, he said, I'm going to go back to our roots. I'm going to go to RBC. And when it became PNC, mm-hmm. he said, this is just great. I love these new services. I love the people that I walk into the bank and they're so friendly and so helpful. And so you got a customer from the time of 18, right? Mm-hmm. And he's changed all of us over to PNC. So that's congratulations great. To your team.
That's great. We want to continue that.
So, but tell me how things have changed for you. You started to mm-hmm. talk a little bit about how walking into the branch has changed. And,
yeah.
And how technology is impacting you.
Well, you know, it used to be that, you go to the bank, you'd make your deposit, and you'd go to the brick and mortar facility. Right now, about 80% of our customers don't use or consider the branch as their primary source of contact to the bank.
80%.
And that's all happened over the last 3 to 5 years as technology has changed. It becomes even more and more so the ability to, you know, do your banking when you want, where you want, and how you want. That's what we are able to provide at PNC because our level of technology has been outstanding. And I'm very confident that if you want to touch us and do a transaction, you have 2, 3, 4 different ways that you could do that, whatever your preference is. And we still have the brick and mortar. We still have the associates that can provide advice and sit down with you and talk through what the plans and future is. But if you do want to do those transactions, you want to check balances, you want to move money from one place to another.
Oh, I love that
you can
transfer.
Do it.
Oh, I love your online transfer. I can do everything with my phone. It's fabulous.
Yep.
That's great. So tell me some of the ways, besides my need to transfer money between accounts. I mean, one of the things that I'm going to just be a cheerleader for you here for a minute. I love the way your system integrates with QuickBooks.
Yes.
So as a business owner, I find that it's just easier to be able to use this communication that you talk to QuickBooks, and it helps me save a lot of time.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we've come up with at PNC. It's our proprietary program that... What you can do with that is, as a small business owner, it's very important to be able to see what money's coming in, what money's going out, and when is that occurring.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about QuickBooks, QuickBooks does a great job of, you know, the invoice, the receivables, accounting for that. But if you think about it as a small business, you also have the checking account. What's in the deposits? What's in the payments that I've made? So when you're trying to reconcile that, that's what this cash flow insight does for us and for the business customer. It connects that checkbook to their payables, receivables, and gives you an opportunity to see your cash flow. How much is coming in, how much is going out, and how is that impacting your balances? You can also project future expenses. You can also see how much that's what that impact could be if you have an additional expense you're thinking about.
So how would I start on something like that? How would this, what's it called, cash flow insight?
Yeah.
And how do you begin a cash flow insight? Is that a separate relationship you have with the bank?
No, it's actually a part of that business account that you have. You're able to really just click on. It's a part of the software that comes with it that you can do invoicing and or receivables, you know, collections within our system. But if you use QuickBooks, we can sync that information in so you can continue to use the programs that you have. It'll then help you. And as time goes on, you can see the history of your balances and your cash flow over the last up to 4 years. Mm-hmm. So it's great to kind of see what happens throughout the years, throughout the months. When do I have high periods, low periods? You can help understand that as you think about, well, what's going to happen this next year. And to get started with it is really sit down and talk with one of our associates. We'll kind of show you a little bit of it, about the information, help you walk through it, get you set up on the system. And I think it's kind of like ATMs. Nobody used to use ATMs. Now they, you know, pretty much everybody does. I think once you start using something and you find the benefits that's going to help you personally in your business, you're going to find it to be a tool that you won't want to give up on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what kinds of things do you see that are changing? Obviously, there's some changes downtown here.
Yep.
Talk about that a little bit, if you would, and how you're perceiving this. Obviously, it's sure. impacting you personally.
Oh, yeah. The office that we have, the lease has expired, and the property itself is going to be changing and becoming an office building. So we're going to have to exit that location. So the change there is that we do have an office, actually three offices within about 2 miles of this location. Oh. So that'll be a little bit of a change for us. But if you think about, you know, kind of how individuals are using the bank and the branches and brick and mortar, there's still a lot of alternatives for you to use through our online banking, ATM access, mm-hmm. Mobile access, as well as the associates that we have. Those are all going to be in our branches,
right.
And everybody that you're familiar with seeing, you will see at our other branches.
Excellent.
Yeah,
because we would miss them. You know, you begin to develop relationships with these folks.
Well, you do business with people, and I think that's very important for us here, and that's, I think, something that's been successful for us is making that personal relationship, helping helping the business customers and people meet their needs.
So what would you say to someone who's thinking, you know, I'm with a bank that I'm not terribly happy with? Why PNC? Why should they think about you?
You know, it's a great question. When I think about why you do business with somebody, and you know, my role in that regional manager is we want to be the best we can to help our customers meet their needs. So we have to understand them. We have to ask questions. We have to get to know them. And if we can do that better than anybody else, then we can provide solutions. We can provide recommendations. So, you know, I really believe that I want to be that person's banker. And I try to get that across to my team is I really want to be their banker. And if I'm going to be their banker, my job is to find options and give them advice as they go through changes, life changes, business changes. And if I can give them advice and options that's going to benefit them, then I think I've got a good reason to ask for their business and have them bank and do their business with
mm-hmm.
me. So my role is find the options, find the benefits, give that recommendation, and then, you know, ask for that business, because that's where that relationship comes in.
Sure.
And people come back to you. You build that loyalty, the trust, and that's a long-term relationship that's going to just grow and expand. So that's why they should bank with me. I want to be your banker, and I can look for ways to show you the benefits.
Excellent. So when people are getting to the point where they think they want to go maybe buy a new business,
mm-hmm.
you help them with things like that?
Absolutely. We have different ways to, we have different options, different ways internally, SBA types of lending.
Oh, great.
And it's really all about is, you know, kind of what is the plan and where do you, you know, what plans do you have? What do you have in
what's your business plan?
What's your business plan? What are you going to be doing? And then our job, you know, we want to make loans.
Right.
So our job
is to
find.
Whether it's for a mortgage or for a business, you can help with both.
But we want to do it sensibly, because the worst thing we could do or I could do is to provide you with maybe some debt or a loan that would put you into trouble.
Sure.
So that's the last thing. We want to help you.
You're going to take care of the individual.
Yeah, and give you that advice of, okay, here's how we can do this, or here's a way to think about your business plan to help you get
there.
Oh,
excellent. So you give that kind of deep advice. That's fabulous.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to you in just 1 second, ask a couple questions. But as long as we're thinking about buying businesses, I want to talk to Alan over here. You like that, huh? Do you? So, Alan, I am going to admit I had never heard of Lawson Gray until last week.
Surprise.
Honestly.
No, I'm not surprised.
You don't have a big billboard outside here.
No.
So this is clearly not a consumer play, which is great. We have a lot of businesses listening to this right now. And I would just love to know a little bit more about who you guys are.
Yeah, so we're a business broker. I think people may define that a couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who do commercial real estate who also get involved in buying and selling businesses.
Oh.
But that's not what my company's about. We stay away from the real estate side. So we're strictly working with, and primarily small businesses, working with profitable business starting and then trying to match them up with qualified buyers. So it's a process of finding someone who's looking to sell their business for whatever reason. Maybe they're going to retire. Maybe they just have had enough, or they're moving, whatever the situation might be. Finding those people who are interested in selling their business. And then it's like real estate. We kind of get a listing.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
So
that's
we do have a contract with the business to sell their business for them.
Okay.
And then from there, trying to find qualified people with money, or people who have access to money, and where there's a good fit, and try to match the two up and hopefully get to a point where they can agree on a price and go forward.
Well, paint a picture for us. So what kinds of businesses are for sale? Not necessarily specifically today, but who has a business for sale?
It runs the gamut. In Wilmington, it's more small to mid-sized businesses. I don't deal with the big guys. They have their own financial people that can handle that for them.
So you're not going to handle the RBC acquisition by PNC?
No, and PPD is probably a little beyond me as well.
A little bit big, yeah.
But so it's, you know, maybe 1 to 20 employees.
Okay.
And it could be anywhere from
a services business, retail,
adult daycare center, a retail operation, a florist, a mulch installation company. It does run the gamut. It's, you know, anybody that's got a business and wants to sell it.
How do they find you? How do they know to work with you?
It's interesting. Most often, I'm finding them. I do some marketing in various ways, and people raise their hand and say, you know, I'm thinking about maybe it's time to sell my business. And they really maybe didn't know where to turn. So I just happened to be there at the right time. I've also found a number of accountants who have clients that are in that position, and, you know, the accountants, they're trusted advisors, so to speak.
Yeah, a lot of referral
business.
And so
there's referrals through the accountant world.
Yeah.
I haven't worked the banker side of it yet. Maybe I should be doing that.
Yeah. Let me introduce you to Chris George.
Right. I have a lot of questions for you, Chris, by the way.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah. So in this sort of business world of buy-sell businesses, you suddenly end up with this restaurant. Mm-hmm. So Dixie Grill is one of the classics. Huh. This is a Wilmington, what's the right word I'm looking for?
Landmark, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of history, a lot of... You know, you can walk in there and sort of feel the old times. Mm-hmm. How'd you become the owner of Dixie Grill?
It's funny, when I started the business brokering business, my sister said to me, "You know what? You're going to end up buying one of the businesses that you get involved in." And so I knew Brian Mayberry, who's my business partner. He's had the Dixie Grill for about 13 years, and I knew his mother-in-law, and got talking to her and. Brian was looking for some financing for some things and potentially a partner. So we talked and I think the initial conversation was, you know, would I help him find that partner? And the more I looked at the books and the business, I said, yeah, I will. It's me. it's a great business. Brian's done a phenomenal job with it. We've got a great staff of people. Nice line on Saturdays and Sundays. And it was kind of a no-brainer for me. I've never been in the restaurant business before. And I went into it really as thinking I was going to be a silent investor.
Mm-hmm.
But I quickly realized that's just not me, first of all.
Not a silent kind of guy.
I just couldn't sit back and watch things. So I got involved probably more than I thought I was. But it's been a lot of fun. And again, I have a great business partner and a great staff. So I'm pretty fortunate.
That's interesting. So you not just broker business, but also the partnerships. Sometimes mm-hmm. people are not necessarily looking to sell, but to find a partner.
Right.
That must be a very interesting job. Partnering, finding a good partner it's like getting married, man. No, it's hard.
It is like getting married. So yeah, I guess you become matchmaker.
But, I guess.
That there's not too many of those out there where people are looking for partners. I shouldn't say this. There are a lot of people looking for partners on the emotional side. But,
right.
But not that many looking for business partners.
Okay. So you don't have to get entangled emotionally too often.
Not too often.
Deal with sort of the divorce issues that often.
Right. That does happen as well. So as we know.
I'm sure. So talk to me about Dixie Grill for a minute. So what an interesting place. You must have some great stories about things that happen at Dixie Grill.
The stories are from the old timers that come in. We've got three gentlemen that come in pretty much every day during the week, and they play cards.
Oh, really?
And in fact, if you go in the Dixie Grill, you'll see a picture up on the wall. There's three guys playing cards.
Uh-huh.
Well, those are the three guys that are there every day during the week, and they've known each other for who knows how long. They've been coming for 35, 40 years, and they have all the great stories about, because it used to be across the street, and had so-and-so work downtown, and they came in for their ham sandwiches and their bowl of beans, which is the favorite, I guess, back then.
Bowl of beans.
Bowl of beans and a ham sandwich. They'd cut the ham right off the thing, you know, and make the sandwich, and they'd have a bowl of beans, and it'd be good to go. And that was the old days when the pool hall was in the back. And who knows?
There was a pool hall in the back.
Who knows what was going on?
See, I told you
there's
stories you're not telling me.
Well, yeah, and some of the younger guys said their dads brought them in this place, kind of as they're coming into manhood, kind of thing, But not, I don't think it was that bad, but it was kind of like,
just don't tell your mom.
Son, you can come in and you can watch these old men play pool and swear and have a good time.
Oh, fun.
So it was, so it's got some fun history.
And how long has it been in business?
Well, 1906.
Wow.
Best of our knowledge.
That's what
our shirts say.
And I should be able to read that right there, shouldn't I?
So, it's been in 1906. So it's had a couple owners. I don't remember it quite that, back then.
So, obviously, when you looked at the business on paper, you said, okay, this is a going concern. This is pretty cool. And since you got involved, you've obviously invested yourself and you're emotionally invested now. What do you love the most about this?
Actually, it's the social part of it, I think, that I enjoy the most, going in every day and talking to these old timers, and people come in and you kind of build this family of friends. I enjoy that quite a bit. I think that's the nicest part about it. And managing people can be a headache, but I truly believe it's such a great group of people, and we kind of mesh real well.
I love it when you give a shout out to your staff.
Yeah.
Both you and Chris have done that today. That's fabulous. You have plans for the restaurants? Are going to look like it did in 1906 forever?
Well, when I came in, we decided part of the investment was upgrading some of the restaurant. So everybody said, don't change a thing. Don't change a thing. So I've tried to figure out, okay, how do we change this without changing anything? So we did a couple minor things, just cosmetic. We painted it, fixed up the bathrooms.
Well, that's a good thing.
And people walked in and said, oh, good, you haven't changed anything. So
it worked.
The changes were made without anyone really understanding that. So cosmetically, we're still working on some small things, but we're going to start dinners again in April after Azalea Festival.
Great. After Azalea Festival. Yeah.
Well, the weekend of Azalea Festival would be our kickoff.
Excellent.
Dinners.
So tell me, I haven't had dinner there. I've only had breakfast and lunch. So what's on the menu for dinner at Dixie Grill?
I wish I could tell you, because my business partner has not shown me. We haven't agreed on a final menu yet, so I can't tell you what it is. It'll be something similar.
Something American.
Something similar to what we already do, but with a little dinner twist to it.
Interesting.
So I don't know for sure. The other thing we're doing, which has been fun, and back to why I enjoy it, trying to find other ways to get the community involved. So what we're doing is, we haven't, this is kind of a work in progress, but we've got three nonprofits, speaking of nonprofits and groups like that. So we've got three nonprofits who are kind of going to be our nonprofit for the month.
Oh, excellent.
So we're going to do kind of a kickoff dinner with somewhat of a fundraiser event, dinner event. And then just during the course of the month, promote their nonprofit, making people aware of what they do and just help wherever we can, whatever. And each group's got some different ideas on how they want to do that. But I figured we have so many people coming through that place. And these groups need help. There's a lot of smaller nonprofits that are always looking for...
What kinds of nonprofits are we talking about?
Well, one's not so small. That's Alzheimer's.
Oh, good.
There's a campus ministry group out at UNCW that's going to be kind of our first one. They're having their dinner on the 29th. The Phoenix Ministry Group, which helps people find employment, things like that. They're going to do it in May.
Excellent.
So those are the first three we've got, and I'm talking to a couple others as well. And so
Fill
up the year, I think. I hope we fill up the year. We should be able to.
Yeah. We all appreciate that sort of give back thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you guys do that at PNC a lot too. What kind of things are you involved with at PNC?
Well, I will say that it's been a great couple of years with PNC. With Grow Up Great is something the bank does for early childhood education. So we have partnered and really have started kicking this off here locally with Smart Start. So we're a big supporter of them through grants and volunteering, as well as the New Hanover Library. We have a great program for financial literacy that we're helping to support through the library. There are many things throughout the year that we are involved in to help these, you know, families, and we start with the little kids, but start with them to help them with financial understanding.
That's really interesting.
It's really great.
I wish somebody had done that for me when I was a kid.
To see these kids, you know, the enthusiasm, it's fun to be around them. But I also see, you know, they kind of get the idea. There was a program where they had the difference between needs and wants, and that was part of the financial conversation for these kids to understand, you know, do they need that new jacket, or is it a want? But in addition to that, we also do a lot with the arts. We've been a big supporter of Kukulors Film Festival.
Very good. Thank you for supporting film in North Carolina, by the way.
And, you know, I would say is if you have a chance to participate and go to those films, they are wonderful. They really are, and they do a great job. But we're just glad to have that be a part that we're a part of this community and helping to support.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen. It's such a beautiful sunny day. I'm going to let you get out of school early, but I need to let our audience know how they can get in touch with you. Chris, if somebody wants to talk to you about some banking, how do they do that?
You can email me at cgeorge@pnc.com. I'm on the email.
Excellent. Or walk into any of those 17 branches across Eastern North Carolina.
That's right.
Excellent. What if I want to buy a business? What do I do, Alan?
Well, it's a confidential interview, by the way, and it is important. Confidentiality is kind of utmost importance.
Yes, of course. But we won't tell anyone on the radio.
Yeah, so yes, please. So my email address is aquigley@lawsongray.com.
And that's LAWSONGRAY.
Thank you.
.com. Thank you so much. And if somebody wants a great meal, head on over to the Dixie Grill. But get there early so you don't have to wait in line. And that's down there on Market Street.
We're moving pretty quick these days. Our wait's not nearly as long as it used to be.
Okay. Well,
yeah, we've worked on that.
Love to hear that. Okay. Well, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher saying until next time for Bridges to Business Radio.